So this, we're going to talk about what's the real test of Avram at the Akedah. Now, the truth is, there's obviously there are a lot of different views as to what Avram's test was. I want to share with you, I think, a pretty compelling approach. So the classic question that people ask is, well, if Hashem knew what Avram was going to do, so why does he test him, right? So why does Hashem test Avram? Why do you think Hashem tests Avram for the Akedah? He knows that he's going to pass the test. He knows he's going to behave.
He knows that he's going to pass the test, but he hasn't done it yet. And he just wanted to bring him to do something that maybe...
He
probably he will not ever do it. He will not be in a situation where he have to
so
be...
So he wants Avram to... In other words, he knew that Avram had certain...
Qualities.
Like, and he... It was important for Hashem that Avram actualized some qualities. Like, sometimes we maybe think a certain way, we feel a certain way, and Hashem wants to put us in a situation so that we acted that way. The question is, why would he do that? And why would we do that?
Potential?
To actually potential, right? And so you can look at it. So the Ramban basically says that. If you look at, like, the Ramban says, V'elokim yisras Avraham, inyan ha-nisayon hu ledati, what's the idea of a nisayon, a test? According to me, bavor yos masi adam rishus muchlatz biyado. So the actions of a person are like, it's totally in his domain. Im yirtzeh yasev, im lo yirtzeh lo yasev. If he wants to do it, he'll do it. If he doesn't want, he won't do it. Ukra nisayon mitzad hamenusa. And it's called a test, not from the one who's giving the test, but from the one who's being tested. Ava hamenaseh yisparach. But the one who tests, which is God, okay. So the one who tests, which is God, yitzave bo lahotzi adamar mina kochapo. What you just said, Daniel. He wants to actualize from his potential to the reality. He wants him to actualize his potential to do. But so the Ramban says very technically, lios lo schar mase tov lo schar lev tov bavad. You get more reward if you do a good action, then simply if you think. If you have a good heart, everyone has a good heart, right? We all have a good heart. But if you actually do an action that reflects a good heart, it's more than simply that you thought to do well. I meant well.
You know, as the father of three sons, every time I read that,
yeah,
I think about it, and I really think, what would I do? And I say, Hashem, if you want to take him, but I'm not.
But he's not going to do it. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Listen, this is very hard, obviously.
It also strengthens your emunah, if it's doing it, because of, what's the psychological term? Oh. Where you have to rationalize that you did something, and so that's cognitive
dissonance. Right. So you're saying something different. So right, the Ramban basically is very technical about what he's saying. He simply says that God wants to give man reward, so he knows he's gonna do this well. So this is a way for him to get points. Like, you know, you're teaching a kid, and you want a kid to get extra points in the report card. So I'll give you this really hard test, and you know they'll do well. Like, give them an easy test, and they get extra points in the report card. That's almost like what the Ramban's saying. But I think you can look at maybe in a deeper level that we are defined. We are transformed by our behaviors, right? In other words, when we if we think about doing good, but if we're forced in a situation where we're challenged, where we're tested, and we pass the test, we're different people afterwards.
Well, you need pressure to make diamonds.
Right. Yes. Good. I like that. Well, you're right. You need pressure to make diamonds. Right. So as I'm saying. So it's not necessarily like a technical. Now Avram has reward. It's now, I said something which I'm going to use your metaphor almost, okay? I'm going to try to one-up you, and then we can go back and forth, by the way. So I once said this, that Hashem says to Avram, in by the Brisbane of Sarim, he said that your children will be enslaved for many years, and afterwards they're going to leave with a great reward. So the assumption is that it's going to be something that's external, right? It's going to be external. However, in Sefer Devarim, I forgot which parsha exactly, when Moshe tells the Bnei Yisrael that Hashem, he said, I took you out of the Kor Har Barzel, the iron furnace, right, to shape you. So now there is the kiln, right? It's saying the reward is not the gold and the silver. In other words, who's the gold and silver? the Bnei Yisrael are the gold and the silver, right? So I'm saying it's a similar idea. In other words, the idea of a test is not necessarily to give somebody, okay, I want you to get extra points, but you actually refine and you shape yourself. And maybe beforehand, you know, Bnei Yisrael told you, we're enslaved for all these years, then we'll get a lot of wealth afterwards, get payback. No, but you're shaping yourself. So that's your diamond. You said it much more eloquently than me. I grant that. Now, and by the way, I want to point out that the Mor Nevuchim adds some interesting points to flesh out, you know, Avram's test here. It says here in the Mor Nevuchim, he said, "Of all parshas Avram ba'akedah klala shnei yonim gdolim him yisos haTorah." So the parsha of the Akedah includes two large ideas that are foundations of the Torah. Hanyana echad, one idea is lo diedu gvul ha'ava l'Hashem yisparach. Number one is love for God. Vayiri menu leizik vul magas, and how far do you go in terms of your fear of God? Lefichach, therefore, nitzava parsha zu, asher lo yercheda lo mesiras mamon velo mesiras nefesh. That basically, you know, this is more than simply giving your money, giving your soul. It's more than that. In other words, that what Avram was commanded more than giving up your life and more than giving up all your money. El zatachlis ma she'efshe lios mtsios mimash lo yaleh b'dimyon. It is something that's unfathomable. You couldn't even imagine. Shetev adam yishma lakach, that a person would hear this. It can't be. In other words, this is more than simply dying on Kiddush Hashem. This is hushi adam ari. There's a person who is childless. Betachlis hatshuka levlad, and he desires a tremendous desire for a child. Ubal osher gadol sius padim v'choshu beidav she tehei mizar uma. He basically thought he was going to have a nation. Ubalo avlad lachar yeush, and after you give up hope, you have this child. Shalheach yeh gaguav levavato. Right, you give up about having a child after you're supposed to not have a child. You have a child. How much are you going to love that child? You're going to everything you give to that child. Ella she eitzel yirato yit alev avat kiu mitzvato heikav biyalech hachavivaze. But because you love God, you're going to what? Give up on the child. Like, that's crazy. It's like that's so extreme. I don't know if I passed that test. I hear you. I'm with you. It's very hard. Vishlich komasha shekiva bo. Everything that Avram had hoped for, he's giving up. Okay. Umiher lishchot laachar malach kama yamim, and he hurried to shecht his son for a distance of many days. And the rabbin pointed out, lefi she'ilu chashav lasu zeh miyad kasher bo elav atzivut. Because if Avram would have done this immediately, if God said, I want you to shecht, you know, go to your backyard, you know how you've been building these altars for me? Go in your backyard and shecht your son in the backyard. That's not as big of a test. Why? Because if it's done right away, if you do it right away, you're like, oh my God, spoke to you, I'm going to do it right away without thinking. It's not going to be settled, calm. But you understand, he didn't do it right away. He's journeying with him for 3 days. He's thinking about it. I mean, can you imagine? It's one thing, okay, God tells you to do it, and you're a loyal servant. I mean, it's hard to understand. You do it right away. But here, not only do you have to do it, you have to spend 3 days walking with your son, journeying.
You don't know where you're going.
What?
You don't even know where you're going.
But you know that at some point, I have to. It's also Yishuv Hadas. He's not doing this because he's without being thoughtful. He knows that he has to shecht, as it were, shecht God. He said shecht Yitzchak. Now so again, you could look at the story. I think many people look at the story as Avram's test was that he gave up everything he had dreamed for, everything he dreamt for, everything he had hoped for, after he davened for a child for so many years, and he's willing to give all that up. It's obviously a tremendous emuna. But I like to suggest that there's a different element to Avram's test that's beyond that. Beyond the fact he's willing to give up everything. And I think that we need to compare Avram's story with Yitzhak at the Akedah to the Lot story. Because the Lot story is a little bit earlier. So what's the Lot story? So what happens? Lot, what mitzvah did Lot do really well? Nesorchim. Who did he learn it from? Oh, he learned from his uncle, right? So he learned from his uncle. So what happens in Bereishis Yates? It says, Vayikru'u el Lot. So what happened? So I skipped, right? So Lot invites these guests in, gives them a nice good meal, whatever. And then there are people, they're surrounding the house. And they called to Lot and they said to him, Ayeha Nashim Asher Bo Elecha Halayla. Where are the people that came to you at night? Hotziam Eilenu V'Nedosam. Bring them to us and let us know them. Whatever that means. Okay. So, V'yetze Aleim Lot HaPascha. And Lot went out to them. V'adel Sagrachrov. And the door was closed behind them. So they were able to walk out, close the door. I would have thought, by the way, like once you open a little bit, they can like smash through the door. But okay, they had some etiquette, people, so they don't smash people's houses. Okay, so like they're back then. So the notice he closed the door behind him, and he speaks to the people. Veomer, and he said Veomar, and he says, "Al na chay tere, please don't do that. It's like it's really bad." Okay, you see, Lot is moser nefesh for achnas sochim. He's not going to give over his guests. And what does he do? Hine na li shtei banos. I have 2 daughters. Okay, Asher lo yadu ish. They didn't know. They have not been with a man. By the way, that's probably why Venedosa it means something when intimate. You know, intimate. That they want the people of Sodom want to commit. They want to be intimate with these men because probably it's similar to Asher lo yadu ish. So there are daughters that they were not. They're not with a man yet. Otsia na eshen aleichem. Let me bring them out to you. Vasulahen. Katov beinechem, and do with them as you will, as good in your eyes. Rak l'anashim ha'el, al tasu devar. Just please, don't harm the guests. Okay? Ki al kein bo betzel krosi. Because they came to visit me. They came to. So like, what is this?
Yeah.
A pilach begiva. Right. But here, they talk about, they compare the two. Correct. So, to be fair, there are different ways to understand Lot's response. How might you be able to explain Lot's response to the people?
Probably
in a positive way.
In the culture at that time.
Oh, the women were worth nothing.
No, I'm not saying that the women were not worth nothing, but it was less of an evil if something like that happened.
Correct.
Than if it happened to a man.
But let's say, how can you look at Lot's comment in a positive way, completely positive.
Maybe he was just trying to kind of give them something to calm them down, not actually give them, but just give them a promise.
Promise to do it, okay.
Like they say with Aaron with the eagle, right?
Right.
Saying things.
Well, it's a little hard. But he didn't say come back tomorrow, I'll give you the girls. I'm just saying,
does he act like I guess.
Well, he does it, because right. So there's another way you could look at it, by the way. If you were to say, hopefully none of us would, we have daughters, would give away a girl's an angry mob. And imagine if someone come to us, an angry mob, and you know it's 2023, we'd obviously never do that. We'd say, yeah, of course, please don't do that. You can have my daughters. What might we be saying if we're not, I mean, can we, is there any, one way you can do it is maybe he was being sarcastic. Just saying, like, if you look, Rabbeinu Hananel says it couldn't be that Lot was serious. He says, Hine nali shte baros. Chalila shahayim mafkir benosav. Can't be. It cannot be that Lot would simply, you know, give over his daughters to these people. It can't be. Okay? Ella ka'omer l'chaveiro. It's as if someone's saying to his friend, Halo beti p'tucha, kach ma shetirza. It's like you're saying, please, take whatever you want from my house. Right? Oh, kemashich atzma l'adam, kishrotzim l'ratzcho. Or if someone wants to kill you, oh yeah, take me here, take me, kill me. What are you really saying? You're really saying, Omer Hargoni, kill me. Because you know he's not going to do it. In other words, he's basically saying, yeah, you want, take anything. You can have anything that I want. But like you're really saying, like, you don't believe they're actually going to do that. He's like, take my whole house. In other words, what he's saying is, please, you know, take what you want, but not my guests. Take whatever you want, but like, please don't take my guests. But he wasn't really offering it. So Rabbeinu Hananel is being nice to Lo. He says, it can't be that Lo would give up his daughters. He's just saying, you know, take whatever you want. Like, but he knows they're not going to do that because they know it's not ethical. He's saying, like it's not right to do that. He's saying, I'll give you anything.
Like, they inherently valued, they were citizens, so we're going to treat them differently, but guests are different rules. So he was saying, like, you know, do that.
Right. He's saying, that you want to do, like, this is not called for. Like, take anything. Like, my guests are...
He was just emphasizing how terrible what it was they were asking.
Correct, for. Right. That's what he said.
The solution is get a ring done.
Okay, I hear. So the Ramban, though, look what the Ramban. The Ramban says, Otsia no eshen aleichem. Look what the Ramban writes. Mitoch shifchol shel ha'ish hazeh banu lidei gnuso. From the praise of this man, Lot, his unbelievable mesiras nefesh for hachnasas orchim, we see his degradation. Shahaya toreach ma'od alachsanya shalo, that he works so hard on his guests. Latzil osam mipnei shabo b'tzil chorso, because he wants to say, if I invite someone to my house, if they're under my roof, no one's going to take them, because I come from Avram. I'm machnis oreach par excellence. Someone comes to my house, I'll do anything to make sure he's safe. Aval shiafayis ancheir behefker b'rosav. But to appease the people of the city by giving up his daughters, that's only someone who has an evil heart. He didn't think, okay, women, men will, you know, abuse the women. It's not so bad. He didn't think doing that was so bad. Okay? So in other words, Lot, if you think about Lot, Lot chooses his values, air quotes, over family. In other words, he lives and dies by Achnasas Orchim, because he saw that in Avram's house. That's like Pikuach Nefesh, right? In other words, it's a perverse notion of Achnasas Orchim. It's to such an extent that he does understand, you know, his other values. He chooses Achnasas Orchim over his family. Okay? Now, you compare that to Avraham. Hashem tells Avraham, I want you to slaughter your son, or I want you to bring him up as a sacrifice. So you have a choice. You can basically say, we say no. Right? So who does Avraham choose? Like here, Lot chose mitzvah, right? He's got a mitzvah, and he has his family. He chooses the mitzvah of God, or not the God, the mitzvah of Achnas Archim over his family. The question is, who does Avram choose? Does he choose God, and does he reject Yitzchak, or does he choose Yitzchak over God? So on the surface, it seems, maybe he chooses God, because after he's going to sacrifice his son. But if you look at the language here...
Maybe both.
Right, so if you look at the language here, okay? So it says that God tested Avram, and what does Avram say? Hineni. Here I am. Katchas, binchas, yitchitchas, yerhaftes, Yitzchak, I want you to take, right, your son... Who you love, I want you to take Yitzchak. Velech lechal eretz Moriah, take him to the land of Moriah. Valeu shem lola, and bring him up as an ola, as a burnt offering. Alachad harim asher marlecha, to one of the mountains that I'm going to tell you about. Veshigam ram bavok, he wakes up in the morning. Bechvosh chamaro, veyikach eshnei narav, and he saddles his donkey and he takes his two young men with him. Vetz Yitzchak beno, and Yitzchak with his son. Veyavaka atzei ola, and he chops them in the wood for the ola. And he goes to the place where God told him to go. On the third day, so he sees the place from a distance. And Avram says to his young men, return to you here with the donkey, or stay here with the donkey. And me and the young men, we're going to go until here, and let us bow. And we're going to return. So, on the other hand, maybe he's hoping that he will return with the Yitzchak. Okay. Ve'ikach Avram esatzei hola, and Avram takes the wood of the ola, and vayasem al Yitzchak bino, and he places it on Yitzchak, his son. Ve'ikach biado, and he takes it in his hand. Esaish the fire, esamachalas and the knife. Ve'achushim yachdav. Okay, they walk together. So now you have just Avram, Yitzchak. Wood, fire, knife. Okay. And then what happens? Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv. And Yitzchak says to Avram his father, Vayomer Avi. So we got a double Avi. We got a double Vayomer. And Yitzchak says to Avram his father, and he says, my father. Okay, so there's a double Vayomer. That's a little strange, right? Because you said Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv Avi. What's this? Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram Aviv Vayomer Avi. Okay, it's the double Vayomer. And Vayomer, and Avram said, Hinei, here I am, my son. Vayomer, and Yitzchak says, Hinei ha'esh v'ayitzim, here is the fire, here's the wood. Vayei ha'selola, what, something's going on. Where's the sheep? Dad, where's the sheep? What's going on? Vayomer Avraham, and Avram says, Elokim yira lo ha'selola b'ni. What does that mean? God will show to him the sheep for a sacrifice, my son. So what's he saying? Is he saying my son's going to be the sacrifice? Or you put, where do you put the comma? After La'ola or after Bidi? And they both walked together.
We had
Nevuah
that wasn't...
I don't know if you had Nevuah. It's clear, the fact that Hashem says... You know, okay, so you could read the story and you can say that Avram knew at the very end, because he made all his promises, that Hashem says to Avram, Kibi Yitzchak Yikarei L'Chazara. He says that your son's going to be through Yitzchak. So maybe you can say, Avram knew in the end it was going to work out. At the same time, the fact that after the Akedah, Hashem says, now I know you're a God-fearing person. So if he knew this, he wouldn't have to do it. It's very hard to argue that God would call him, now you're a real Akim. So Avram must have thought at least that there's a possibility of this. So what's going on here? So Yitzchak, presumably, right? They're walking up to the mountain. There's no sheep. And he's like, and Yitzchak's probably getting this like weird suspicion here. He's saying that, so he Vayomer Yitzchak al Avram. And he calls to his father, right? He calls to his father. He says, like, you know, and what does he say? Father. And it's very painful. Like, I have this straight avi. I have this strange suspicion of something going on. And what does Avram say to Yitzchak? Hineni. Same thing that Avram said to who? To Hashem. In other words, one second. He's Hineni to both Hashem and to his son. I'm here for you, my son. And his son, give me one second. And his son says, well, where's the sheep? And Avram gives this kind of ambiguous answer that God will show Seth for an Ola, either it'll be my son or maybe not. I'm not sure. And Vayechu Shnei Yachtav. And they walk up together. And they still continue together. In other words, either Avram says either my son is the lamb or Hashem will show us the lamb on top of the mountain. But what is he not doing? He's not abandoning his son at all. He's not sure. At the end of the day, he will have to. He's going to follow God's command. He's the loyal servant of God. My take on the story is that God would never, you know, I'd have a major ethical problem had God, at the end of the day, made him sacrifice his son, because that sounds unethical. But you know, but the point is to show the lengths of which Avram should have a moon on God. But the point is, the test. This is what I want to try to say. The test is not simply. Will Avram be loyal to God? The test is how Avram can be loyal to God and loyal to Yitzchak as well at the very end. And I think that and that's such a... Lot chose when he didn't have to. He chose God or his mitzvah over his daughters. Avram is choosing them both. And what do I mean by that? It's a very contemporary message. See, very often we sometimes have to make decisions, and like it's like something between, you know, is it between the Be'am L'Mach or Be'am L'Chavero? And sometimes, you know, we have to make a tough decision that someone's maybe upset about, whatever it is, but like the question is, how do we go about doing it? You know, let's say there's a tension, a Shabbos question, a Kashrus question, a this question, that question, and you have to say, I don't know, you have a relative who may not be observant like the way you are. So how do you go about doing it? In other words, the goal is, as best as you can, to choose God and to choose the other person. It's not one as opposed to the other. And as Avram said, like, I'm going to hold your hand, Yitzchak, to the very end, till we get there. I don't know how this is going to turn out, okay? He wants me to take you up to the Ola. He wants to take you up. It is so painful for me. It's so painful for me, but I'm going to hold your hand to the very end. And sometimes we're like that. We don't have answers, and we're dealing with people. Why is this? Why is this? And I think this is like a model for our lives, really. That on the one hand, we have to be loyal and faithful to God and to the best of our ability. We have to hold one hand, we have to say hineni to God and hineni to the other person. And again, sometimes someone will be upset, but to the extent possible, we have to be loyal to both God and to other people in the end. I think that's even greater test to pass than simply, they're listening to God, and still holding his hand at the very end. Sorry, Yehuda.